Amen. In these last days, God has spoken to us by a Son. Have you ever wondered if anyone or anything is in charge of the world, the universe that we live in? I hear questions or statements like that all the time. Is anyone at home? Is anyone in charge? What's going on? As you and I look into our own lives, does some event, a tragedy, a terrible illness, get you down, eat you up inside? Has your hope hit the wall? Are you tired and worn out from years of others' negative outlook on life? Have you ever been around someone who's just always negative, 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 and it just kind of gets you? As we look at the history of the Christian church and we see the church and the world in a variety of mortal conflicts and perceive us preacher types as frequently indulging in sentimental drivel, that makes you feel good. Does your faith wobble, your hope shrivel a little? If so, friends and family, this day, you're in very good company because people shrivel a little bit from time to time. People's faith wobbles from day to day. You see, because you and I see the letter today to the Hebrews is written to an exhausted, discouraged, cynical congregation. Have you ever been exhausted? Have you ever been discouraged? And have you ever got to the point where you were cynical? Sometimes we find ourselves in all three. Sometimes we can see ourselves very clearly. And we don't like what we hear and we don't like what we see. You see, we don't know where they are located today, this church. We don't know who writes to them. We don't know who wrote the letter of Hebrews. But we do know that they stumble along on their last legs. They've got tired blood. I can remember my grandma saying that, "I've got tired blood," and I thought she was silly. Also remember my granddaddy as a little kid saying he couldn't go do something for us. He'd tell us to go run, pick something up, and we'd always say, "Well, what's wrong with you?" And he said, "I got a bone in my leg." So things like that. Grandparents are wonderful people, great, great folks, but sometimes until we figure it out, and after a while we figure out, well, hey, we've all got bones in our legs, and we've all got tired blood from time to time. But anyway, so today, they've got tired blood, this church here that Hebrews is talking about. They're losing members by the ton. For many of them, the Christian faith has turned out to be, at best, a wild superstition, and at worst, a vile hoax. They're giving up, they're drifting away, and they're trying something else. Does that sound familiar? First thing today, and then we have this letter. Do you know what this writer of the book of Hebrews says to the discouraged and straying congregation? He prescribes a heavy dose of what we might call high Christology. He recommends a study of Christ to be more Christ-like. You, this writer does putter around with language for novices and beginners. He doesn't seduce us with subtle programs as decoys, cliches that's out there. We see those all around us. We try to do some of them ourselves. Have better programming, have better things, have better this, put better signs out on our sign, better wordings. We get people's attention. We do all those kind of things. Tantalize an invitation to religion by the numbers. There's churches in the area that puts the tally out on the beside the road of how many were saved this week. Things like that. We do those things. He tells us what makes Jesus the Christ. He delivers a straightforward testimony evoking a vital, amazing presence. Presence. An amazing presence. A presence living with us. A presence with us in death. A presence who suffers and struggles, fails and triumphs, braves and endures with us all in the perils of life and all the tragedies that we share. A presence bearing in and radiating through a person the very assurance of what we hope for, the essence and conviction of things we cannot see. How many of you remember that as a child? Do you remember singing a song of faith is the essence of things unseen, the substance of things hoped for. God's Word has said it, and I believe it. Let the miracle happen to you. That's faith. That's what it says. That's what the Word is. It tells us that in the book of Hebrews. We have that hope. We hope for it. We have that essence and that conviction of things that you and I cannot see. That's our faith. Do you remember how this author, this preacher, because that's what it sounds like, for he writes it not a letter but a sermon, how this preacher begins his testimony? He asserts long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by a Son. He has spoken to us by a Son and through a Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God spoke to us in fragments, our author suggests today. God spoke in different fashion, styles, and moods. It might be through someone like Elijah in the Old Testament, the great prophet, compelling us to make choices in our loyalties. It might be about Amos that we find is one of the minor prophets, turning us to social justice, looking out for those around us, those things that others tend to let go. It might be Hosea describing one who bends towards us as a loving husband or a loving wife towards a wayward spouse. And that's exactly what Hosea is about. He is supposed to turn back and find love for his wife who is turned away. But in these last days, says our writer from Hebrews, God speaks to us by a son, a child, a little child, a human being like you and me. In this person, we encounter the ultimate being that you'll ever see, this fellow pilgrim that walks along like you and I. We see the ultimate presence in the divine life packaged in flesh and blood. Through this Son, this divine child, we find ourselves encountered, challenged, and embraced to the core. The heart, the mind, the soul of the radiant, overflowing grace, grounding our lives and all of creation. This is it at last. This culminating, concluding perfect Word, not simply spoken, but now incarnate in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The second thing today, as our preacher continues in the story, what might this incarnate presence mean to us? He explains. Jesus as Christ is heir of all things. Wow, what a confession. Jesus as Christ is heir of all things. Our author answers a great question today. Where are things headed? What does life mean? Are we just a blob of cells? Are we just a bunch of cells in this being? An inch on the epidermis of a doomed planet? Is that all we are? Or more bluntly, does the one who end up with the most toys or the most weapons win? Do the rich get richer and the violent carry the day? Do the political spin masters, the PR flacks that are out there, and the Budweiser apologists define the criteria for the truth that's in our world? Perhaps. Resisting cynicism can be difficult in this world that we live in because we see it everywhere we are at. But today, in the book of Hebrews, our preacher will not surrender to cynicism. He affirms that what makes Jesus Christ the heir of all things lies in the trust that we risk that through whatever crisis and trouble we may pass, we are joined by one, the presence, the one who bears the crisis for us, the one whose grace lies in binding the loose ends, transfiguring the twisted, reconciling our antagonisms, healing our self-inflicted wounds. Wow. Healing our self-inflicted wounds. So many of us hurt ourselves or allow others' words to hurt ourselves. Indeed, this heir of all things becomes our brother by passing through the stresses, the bruises, the afflictions that life throws at him. no different from you and no different from me. You see, Jesus heard it all, seen it all, has been there. This rendering of the gospel by this author today of the book of Hebrews assures us that God knows what it's like to be you and me. God knows what it's like to be us. The reflection of God's glory that we see in Jesus as the Christ comes through the pomp and circumstance, not through crown and gowns, not the trappings and the ceremony that we assemble to celebrate the place or position honored by an office or an accomplishment in our civilization. That's not how He comes. He comes to us each and every day in the reflection of His glory. He comes to us not through all those things, but it comes through the anguish, the pain, the bloody defeat, the terrible death that is suffered by this God incarnate in Jesus the Christ on a cross at Calvary. That's what where it's at. That's where the glory comes. The cross makes Jesus our brother. Can we grasp that? Can we grasp that a God who died on a cruel tree is our brother? Jesus Christ, as our preacher affirms, is our friend, our brother, because through His suffering and death, He knows what it's like to be you and me. He experiences the height, the depth, and breadth of our humanity, no less than you and I. Christ is joined, God is joined, emphatically to you and I, to our human condition. The third thing today, and so we ask, not as we ask at the beginning, do you believe anyone is really running the show? Is there someone in charge? Of course there is. And we affirm it because you know why? Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by the Son, heir of all things, creator of all worlds, reflection of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's very being, sustaining all things by His powerful word, even Christ Jesus our Lord and our Savior. So this day, let us remember that our Lord and Savior is there for us. May we remember that, not only this day, but in every day. Let us pray. Lord, this day, in the name of the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Spirit, may we offer ourselves for service in the realms of health and welfare, justice and peace. Grant that through us, others may see and know You, not only this day, but every day. May we, Lord, be the vehicle by which others come to know You. May You allow us to be the one that shares that story. May You allow us to be the one that has that testimony so strong that someone wants to know You. So, Lord, be with us now. Bless us, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen.